Good morning. I once again greet you in our Master's name, and I trust that you have been blessed to be here and be part of this service thus far this morning. I can say I was, and I will say that I struggle when I sit through a morning like this morning as the songs that we sing. I loved your extra singing period that spoke to me, and I could make many comments about that. The Sunday school hour, or however long that was, I had a lot of thoughts running through my head then. And then your sharing time, I even had more thoughts. And so I'm sitting up here with, it seems like my brain is going 100 different ways, and I'm trying to collect my thoughts and think of all the things that I could be saying, maybe that I should be saying, and then the things that I actually prepared to say. And so I don't know, I might sound a little discombobulated this morning because I have a lot of random thoughts going through my mind. But I would like to start off by saying, I only know you a little bit this week, Sheila, and blessings to you as you try to integrate into a new community. My wife has done that, and it's not always easy. It's difficult to put yourself out there and to try to make yourself one of them when this is home, and it will be different, and I understand. And so may God richly bless you in that, Rodney, as you help her guide through that. That's not always easy. And so, yes, look to God and make wise decisions there and try to support her in that way as well. For us, when we're at home, it just seems like normal and they should just understand, and it's just not always that easy. And so I had to think about, I'll reveal myself as a figure this morning. I think maybe I even said that the night I preached that message. And I was thinking about the Sunday school lesson and talked about the splinters of the church and looking at that timeline. There is so much that could be said there. And one of my burdens this morning, at least, maybe you all do it differently here, and praise God that you do. But for us, too many times I feel that we're on the defense and we're always living in reaction. You know, this subject comes up or this item presents itself, and we're like, okay, now we've got to make a decision. How are we going to view this as a church? How are we going to handle this situation? What is the best way to do this? And so we have all these decisions, and it doesn't allow for much time to be proactive and be on the offense side and think into the future, 1, 5, 10, 15 down the road. And it's good to talk about that as a congregation because it'll soon reveal where everybody stands. And as Brother Ryan said this morning about being unified, that is very important for the strength of a congregation. And so where do you stand on some of these things? And I'll be very blunt. After the whole COVID thing, now we're a couple years later, and I asked the question, I don't know where we would come out at Mount Olive anymore. It's not something that we talk about. It went behind us, and I'm not sure that we're quite all on the same page. And it scares me a little bit. And we don't like to think about it and try to plan and try to think about it for the future. And so, and that ties along with my lesson about, or my message this morning. So I just challenge you as a leadership, as a congregation, do you know where you stand? And are you thinking, are you being proactive? Are you being on the offense and trying to plan into the future? I'm terrible with names, but the other heller that runs the sound back there told me one of the first evenings that smart men learn from their mistakes and wise men learn from the mistake of others. Never heard that. I thought that was very well put. And I don't like to look at that timeline and look at any of those church splinters and things as a mistake. I don't think that's a proper way of looking at that. But what we can take from that saying is that there is wisdom in learning from the past. We can look at how these things worked out and played out and some of the things that they faced. And it can help us and give us wisdom on how to face what we're facing today and maybe what we'll face in the future. And so that's a challenge for me. I can keep right on, but we'll buckle down here and try to get into the message. But I really enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. There could be much said. Hopefully there's more discussion about that. There's just a lot there, and I really, really appreciated that. So this morning, I have titled my message, Goals for Our Sons and Daughters. And so last night, I spoke primarily to the youth. Now, today, this morning, I am going to primarily talk to parents. and to newly married or anticipation of those that are wanting to get married. I know you have quite a couple weddings at least coming up in the next couple months. And so I'd like for you to think with me on this subject, goals for our sons and daughters. My family, we went to Home Depot one evening to get a blind cut for our son's bedroom. And we went there and we asked for someone to help cut our blind because it was a cut the length. You know, you buy a 36-inch blind, you need it 35 1/4 or whatever it was. And I can't remember the measurement that we needed. And so this blind specialist came over and he was going to cut our blind for us. And so he puts it on the thing and he puts it in there and it spins around and he cuts it. And he hands it to me after he's done. And being in construction, I think it was 35 something I needed. And it was only about this long. And I just knew. I didn't even have to get a tape measure. I was like, sir, that's not right. Well, yeah, it's 35. I said, no, it's not right. And so he gets his tape measure. And sure enough, it's not right. So then he got another blind. And he puts it on there. And I mean, he tries and struggles. And finally, he cuts it. Hands it to me again. I know it's not 35 inches. And so finally, he's like, I don't know what to do. So he's going to go get some help. So they went and got some help, and it was a struggle. After multiple blinds, we finally got one that looked close, and I didn't even measure. It was almost getting awkward and embarrassing for everyone around there. And so we just left with the blind. And so I got to thinking, you know, I was very critical of that person trying to cut my blind, but he probably had no one to teach him at all. And you think about, these are the type of people that are in our society and that do not have a mother and a father in the home trying to teach them, in that case, just simple skill sets, reading the tape measure, common sense. And so where do we come out as believers this morning? What are we teaching our children, and how are we teaching our children? As I was preparing for this message, I saw this church sign that fit so well. It said, "You must teach your children to follow Jesus, or the world will teach them not to." You must teach your children to follow Jesus, or the world will teach them not to. And if that doesn't compel you this morning as parents to be 100% committed on teaching your children the right way, I don't know what would. Because we know what the world teaches, and we know what we should be teaching. And if we're not doing our job as parents this morning, we know someone that will. And so that should give us a lot of energy and a lot of vision and a lot of passion to do what we know to do. I understand that this subject of raising children is something that is not very well, at least for ministers that I found. It doesn't seem like they like to preach on that. If you're a really young minister, maybe you don't have children, or maybe you have really small children, so you don't feel qualified to preach on the subject. And maybe you're in my shoes where you're middle age and you're in the heat of the battle and there's more questions than you have answers. And I can assure you that's the case this morning. And you just really don't know of how some of this is going to work out. We have thoughts, we have ideas, but really, how do they flesh out? How do they become practical in our life? And so we don't like to talk about it, at least middle-aged people. And then there's older ones that maybe their children are mostly raised or all raised, and they can look back, and maybe they have some regrets. Maybe they realize some things in life that they should have done different. And so they're very apprehensive to preach on this subject because they realize that they have failures in their life. And so if we don't have the young ministry talking about it, if we don't have the middle-aged ministry talking about it, if we don't have the older ministry talking about it, who's going to talk about it? Well, to me, I think the older ones is the one that needs to be talking about it. So if Dwayne needs a message here, I think he can follow up and do a better job than what I can, because I do really honestly feel that I'm in the heat of the battle and I don't have a lot of answers. But there are a few things that I have thought through, my wife and I, with goals and visions that we have for our children. And it is important to try to think through that clearly and to try to have a plan. Will it always execute just perfectly? No. But if we don't have something to start with, we don't really have a basis or a foundation to start from. And so we think of how children are born. A little baby, we know they are born bent with a sinful nature. No one has to teach them to be selfish. We talked about Selfish Sam on Wednesday night. That is nothing that you teach your children. That's what they're born with. And so when you think about a child from when they were born,
It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort to try to guide them and to try to teach them to be different than the way the natural man and natural self is. And so there's a lot of work. There needs to be a lot of mental energy put into this as parents. And so I know there's a wide variety of parenting skills and abilities and thoughts. And some parents are probably more goal-oriented, more vision-oriented than some. And so I know there's a difference. And some of these isn't a blanket statement, but I'm just speaking from myself personally. Some of the things that I found in my life. And I am extremely grateful, and I've said this on Friday evening, I'm extremely grateful that we have other people that can help us raise our children. If I had to do this alone, my wife and I don't know where we would be, but I am very grateful that we have a brotherhood, we have a church, we have a Christian day school, we have mission organizations, we have all kinds of help in raising our children today, and what a blessing that is. I'm glad we are not alone in this. And so I do understand that as children become older and as they become adults, they become more independent. They do become more on their own. They make more of their own decisions. And I am very sympathetic to anyone here this morning that has had children that has chosen a different path than they have been taught. That is a very difficult challenge. And there is some hurt there, and I don't fully understand that. I have not experienced that, but I do sympathize with you that you can say that you have tried so hard and you gave all the effort you can, and then as they become older and they make other decisions, it can be hurtful. And so my heart goes out for you this evening, but don't give up. Don't give up. And so when you think of goals for your children, I like to think of it in three categories. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. There are short-term goals, there are mid-term goals, and there's long-range goals. And I think it's very important for us to think about it in those three compartments because there are some things that is very important that you need to strive for in the next week or in the next month. And then there are things in the next year or two or three. And then there's things in 5-10 years down the road. And there needs to be different things in each one of those categories. And I would like to show you this morning. So I would like for you to think about setting goals. And so I'm going to put parent A, B, and C. So in my studies and in my research, as parents, it was statistically proven that 80% of most parents have no goals set for their children, or very few. They don't really even think about it. Just however they are raised, that's how it is. And this is in general in society. And parent B, 17% have goals. They think about it, they have a mental list, and they do know of a few goals and what they want their children to become and what they want to do. And then there's 3% of your parents that actually have goals and they write them down. And they periodically check and make sure that they're at least on the path to try to hit these goals. And so in comparison, parent B is 10 times more likely to reach the goal than someone that has very little or few goals or no goals set for their children. But parent C is 30 times to 40 times more likely to hit the goal than it's like 20 to 30 times more likely than even the people that have goals. So it is very important, it's statistically proven that it's very important to think about goals, to write goals down, because if you don't, there's very little chance in you succeeding in meeting those goals. And so it's very important as parents to have these goals. And so I'd like to read from Hebrews 11. These are some parents that had a vision or a goal, you might say, for their child. A very influential man. And you have to give credit to his parents for having this passion or this vision for their child. Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 27. It says, by faith, and this is talking about Moses here, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. So it's by his parents' faith that they hid Moses, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So here we see it starts with Moses' parents. They knew what the king was expecting. They knew the commandments, but they saw something special in this child, and they were given this intuition or this vision that this child needed to be saved, and so they hid him for 3 months. And I like to say that that is the foundation that Moses built his beliefs and his visions on and goals on. Because in verse 24 and down through there, we see that he refused to be part of Pharaoh's kingdom. That was something that he had a basis for. He would be rather to suffer the afflictions of Christ's kingdom than the blessings and all the prosperity in Egypt. And so we see the foundation that this laid, that his parents laid for him. And it was very impactful and influential in Moses' life. Very, very important. I'm not so sure that Moses' parents understood what all that meant, that this child was proper. We don't know that. But they knew that there was something special, and they knew the right thing to do. And so before we get into too many goals, I would like to talk. I've been using goals and vision kind of interchangeably here. But vision gives us a direction or that goals can be set. It's very important. I feel that we need to have a vision before we can create goals. I think that is our first step that we need to do. It is very important for us as parents to have a vision before we set goals. And we can't expect our children to have a vision that we don't have. We need to have it. I think that is very important. And so I encourage each one of us here this morning that we need to think about this vision and then create goals for our children. And when raising our children, it seems like we have a lot of time, especially from newborn on up. But I would like to urge you this morning that time does slip away very quickly, and we have a very small window of time as parents to influence our children. If you wait till they're 15 or 18 year olds and try to then instill your vision or then to set goals, I'm afraid to tell you this morning that it's too late. We need to start when they're very young. And so maybe you don't have children here this morning or very young children. I encourage you to think about these things. Think about visions and goals that you have for your children. We need to seriously consider where we want our children when they are 18 years old, when they're 21 years old, when they're 30, 40. Think long range, parents, not just in the next year or two. And so as I was reflecting back on my life and some of the things that I am facing now, it would have been better for me to try to think through some of these things clearly 5 and 10 years ago than now trying to be processing them. And so it is important to think about these things. And so there is a statement that goes something like this when thinking of goals and visions. If you aim at nothing, you will hit every time. And so if you want to see change, if you want to see improvement, if you want to see advancement in any areas of our life, we first have to have a goal. That is so important. There must be something to work toward. It is important to at least consider goals, but it's even more important if you can write those goals down as a couple. As parents, think about them and write them down. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And that's how it can be as parenting sometimes. We just think that, you know, this should be different. But if we don't actually think about it and make some type of action, we're just going to end up in the same wheel doing the same thing over and over again. So it's very important. And I would say equally important it is to think ahead, trying to make important decisions in the heat of the moment or at the spur of the moment is not always the best decision that is made. And so I would challenge you on that this morning. Think about it, how you're going to handle technology in your home. How are you going to handle your children having cell phones? How are you going to, whatever it may be, fill in the blank. Don't wait till they're like 16 or 18 and they have their driver's license and they realize, now we have this phone issue. It's something that we need to think about ahead of time. So how do you define or set goals? I think first we have to think specifically on what we want to accomplish. Think about your values. Think about what is written in Scripture. Think about the moral absolutes that cannot be compromised. That is a good foundation to start on. And then look at your values. Look at your beliefs. Look at your convictions, the things that you hold near and dear to your heart, and have those as goals and vision for yourself and also for your children. And when you set these goals sometimes in your children's lives, make sure that especially in the short-term goals and maybe even the midterm, that these goals are attainable. It's not good to always have the carrot dangling in front of the nose and continue to move it, because that will become discouraging and frustrating for children. If they can never meet your expectation or if they can never meet a goal, that is not good. And so that's why I think it's very important to have three different categories of goals and vision for your children's life. And also, it should be also considered that you do not set goals that are unattainable. There are goals that can be unrealistic, and there are times that we do have these high ideals, but make sure they are obtainable. So I'm not going to come up with an exhaustive list of goals that you should set for your children this morning, but I will talk about some basic foundational things, and then you can build off of that. There are many things that is given in Scripture that we should teach them. We know to teach them to be respectful and to be kind and be loving and all those things. But there's also other things that we need to be teaching them. I've heard a lot about many of you serving in different ways and capacities this week, and I am encouraged beyond words to hear that of young people and even some of you middle-aged and older people that have gone and served in different ways in different countries and different missions. That is a tremendous opportunity. And I think that is something very important, and that is a good goal and a good vision to have for our young people. Landon went and helped clean up last week. That is a good thing to do. That's a good opportunity to just take a couple days. It doesn't necessarily always have to be a two-year commitment, but it will change your perspective on life. And it will be good, would be for the good of the church. It makes a stronger church. It really does. And we'll maybe get into that a little bit more later. So for me, sometimes I can be a little unreasonable in my goals. When I set goals, sometimes I feel like they need to be met at whatever cost. And I have come to realize that that is not always a good thing. And so as parents, we need to be realistic. And maybe sometimes we do have to step back and say, this goal does need to be readjusted. This needs to be reevaluated. When I first set it, that was looked attainable, but because of this circumstance and this circumstance, we have to readjust that. And that is very important for us as parents to realize and analyze, where are these goals and are they still attainable? And it is very dangerous, as I said, to set goals and to say, we're going to make this happen, especially mid-range and long-range goals, at whatever cost, because we do not know the future. There can be things that come up in life that things don't work out as we thought when we first set the goal. So it is very important to think about that. It is very dangerous to set a goal and say, at whatever cost, I'm going to make this happen. I'd also like to think of it as parents, how do your personal goals and your personal vision affect the lives of your children? I think this is something that we need to think about in reality, because I feel that as children, we respond in one of three ways to our parents' goals. And I'll give you some illustration. And I'll just use church attendance for an illustration period. So maybe you as a parent set a very high priority and a very high standard or high goal for church attendance. When the church doors is open, you will be there. And so let's say that's a goal for you. So your children can look at that in one way and say, they took that too seriously. Like, that compromised some times that we needed to spend as a family, this and that. And so they don't prioritize it as much. And they maybe begin to drift from that strong goal. Maybe you feel that as a child that they failed in that area and you would like to even do better. And so you put a lot of time and energy into trying to do different or be better than your parents. And then there is some other things that suffer in your life. And that is something that we can do as a child. And the third response that we see is we can live in reaction, total reaction, that this was unnecessary. And then they go to the point that they barely attend church. And so we have these kind of three categories that as we look at the things that our parents done and we try to evaluate, is that going to be something that is important for us? Is this something that I'm going to take a hold of and do? And so there are times, there are things that I have chosen different to do than my parents. Maybe some of it has been reactionary. Maybe some of it I've put too much emphasis on and I suffered in some other areas in my life. And that is possible. And that does happen. Because as we become adults and as we become parents of our own, we begin to subconsciously and consciously think about these goals. And so we try to decipher what we're going to do in our own life. I think it's very important to evaluate goals. I'd like to turn to Genesis 13 and read a couple of verses here to just stop and evaluate some things and decisions that we make in our life and how they are affecting our life. Genesis 13, I'd like to read a couple of verses here. I referenced this story a couple times, Bob. I'd like to look at it at the beginning of this story. Genesis 13 and verse 1. And Abram went out up into Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called unto the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen and my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not this whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take to the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And we know the rest of that story, how Lot lifted up his eyes and he chose that land towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And so as they made these decisions in life, and as they went their separate ways, I'd like to at least look at Lot. I don't know if there was any checkpoints or goals or priorities or visions set in his life. There was no time that he reflected back and said, okay, when I was at this crossroads, I made this decision. How is this affecting my life? Until it was so far gone that him and his family left there being drug out by an angel. There was no evaluating point. I think that is very important as parents this morning. There has to be a point that we say, we made this decision. Now, how is this affecting my life? And that can be very difficult to do. And it's very hard to give an honest self-evaluation because we're very narrow-minded as we think of our own life. Because honestly, we all think that we are doing our best and trying to do what's right, but maybe there are some things that we're not given an honest evaluation to. Lot wasn't willing to look at how it was affecting his family. We know the world's goals back then is the same as they were now. They look for prosperity. They look for ease. It was just power, fame. That's the things that the world teaches us. And I'm begging you this morning to evaluate our goals. Are we trying to teach the same thing that the world are? I hope not. I hope we're trying to teach something much different than the world is teaching. And so I hope you're evaluating your life as you set these goals. The Bible has set up many instructions for parents in how to teach their children. I have four practical applications that I would like to look at, and I would like to start in Matthew 22. Like I said, I would like to provide some basis, and then you can fill in with some very practical goals in your own life for your family. Matthew 22. These are some very basic principles, but we must get a hold of them. These are absolutes. These are something that we cannot compromise as parents today. Matthew 22, verse 35. It says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets.'" The absolute this morning is that we must teach them to love. And the old saying is, there's more caught than taught. So our children will see how we love. We can teach them, but we can also show them. And so how do you relate to people? How do they see you reacting and responding to people that rub you the wrong way? Or the people that just irritate you? Do they see you responding in a loving way? We must teach them to love the way Jesus lived his life as a perfect example here on earth. It's not always easy to go back and to go the second mile, to give your cloak, to say I'm sorry, to love the way Jesus gave an example, to love unconditionally. This is a very important part. I'd like to emphasize this by reading a couple verses in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there, but I'd like to read a couple verses here that speaks about what love really looks like. What real, true, genuine love is. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 4, it says, "Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." I read one too many verses there. But that's talking about love. There are 17 things that love is in this chapter, in these couple of verses. Love is patient. It is kind. It is not jealous. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It doesn't keep score. It is not rude. Does not demand attention. It is not irritable, doesn't get worked up when it's treated unfairly. It is happy when truth wins out, never gives up, never loses faith, always hopeful, endures to the very end. That is what true love is this morning. And are you as parents reflecting that in your life? Are you giving this as a goal, an example for your children? And it says the greatest of all three is charity, love. It is a direct command, and we have the perfect example of Jesus living it out here on earth. Unconditional love. The second one I would like to look at for our children is teaching them to have a relationship with God. Again, this can be taught, and this can also be shown by example. We can also see that. We read about Moses and how his parents laid that good foundation. I'd like to read a verse about Moses and his relationship with God. In Deuteronomy 34:10, it says, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses." Why? Because, he says, "it knew the Lord face to face." I believe Moses had an intimate relationship with his father beyond anybody at his time. It says, before anyone, prophet like that in Israel. We see Moses having this relationship with God. It is so important to teach our children to take time and to be an example and to show them that that is an important part of their life. There are many things that we can teach them values. There are many relationships that our children can have, and relationships are huge in the lives of our children. And so it is, number one, important for them to have a relationship with God. But equally important is it's also to teach them and to try to help them choose good friends. That is another aspect of relationship that I think is very important. It has been once said that show me your friends and I will show you your future. Parents, you need to be involved in who your children are friends with. Who does your children associate with? It's so important. They will have a direct impact on their life, and they will also impact their relationship with God. We can also show them the importance of relationship of how Christ relates to the church. It talks about many times of how husband and wife should relate to themselves as Christ relates to the church. That's another example of relationships that we can teach our children. And so how are you doing, parents, in showing this relationship? The third one I have is to teach them to serve. And I've already briefly mentioned this. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we had many instructions on this in our devotions this week. It is very important to have our young people serve, but we also need to be an example. Are we as parents serving others? And I'm not talking about necessarily just going out somewhere into another country or into another state, but are we serving right here at home when opportunity affords? And we need to provide them with good, solid, stable opportunities to serve. That is your responsibility as parents. There is good and not so good places to serve, and we need to be mindful of that. Are we? Because when you put them out there, and maybe they will go into a place of service somewhere, and that influence will impact their life, and so it's very important. And I encourage you to start them young in this area of service. And the fourth thing I would like to point out here is to teach them success according to God's will and God's plan. There's so much said about success today in our life. There is much energy, there is much time, there is much money spent on parents trying to raise their children up for success. They do that by sending them to college and all kinds of things to try to help them be successful. But do you remember back in Joshua when we read that earlier this week, where God gave him all them promises, and he said, if you do all these things, I will make you successful. But that wasn't successful according to the world's standard. That was according to God's standard. And there is a huge difference this morning. And so I beg you, are you teaching your children success according to God's ways and his principles? And it starts by just a good foundation and then slowly teaching these things. Teach them to love. Teach them to serve. All these things help them grow and to be a successful person according to God's will and God's plan. That is very important. I would like, in closing, to read a couple of verses from 2 Timothy. This maybe is, you think, is a unique verse to close with, but I like verse 17 as we think about providing goals and vision for our children. We don't have to do this alone. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is being proficient. This is being outfitted. This is being thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can do that by the help of the scripture. Scripture can help us set these goals and these vision that they will have everything they need to live a successful life for Christ. And so this morning, I would like to encourage you that if you do struggle to set these goals and these vision for your children, either ask for advice or dig into the Word. There is much help here to help us set the correct vision and goals for our children. I also encourage you to think about it and to write them down. It will make a difference. That is very important. And so, as parents, we cannot afford to live a double standard. And I think as important as it is to teach, it's also important to live and to be that example. If you want to teach them to love, you want to teach them to serve, a very good way to start is being an example in your own life. There's not a lot of older folks here, but there are a few. I encourage you, and I also commend you for your leadership in raising your family. Maybe your children all have left home or are leaving home, but I encourage you to be faithful and still continue to set goals. As I said in the first night, it seems like after your maybe in the 60, 70, it's easy to let your foot off the gas and maybe try to relax a little. But unfortunately, then you end up dropping the ball. It is still equally important for you to have a goal to be faithful unto the end. And let me tell you this morning, as older ones, there are many middle-aged and younger people that is looking up to you and is begging for advice. And don't be afraid to share it. Yes, you may not have been perfect, but you do have experience. And you can give wisdom and advice to someone that is struggling. Maybe they have questions. Do not be afraid to share it. Yes, your life might not be perfect, but please be an encouragement. Be an example. Continue to be faithful. Continue to strive for that goal of being faithful unto the end. So as you try to find purpose, vision, goals for your life, I encourage you to continue to look to God's word to be faithful. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I think for every parent, it is an exciting time. It is a happy time when children make the right decisions to accept Christ and also to make right decisions after that. That is a good time to see your children maturing like that. But you need to be thoughtful. You need to plan that out. You need to think about that. Have a goal. Have a vision. There's no such thing as a perfect parent this morning. I understand that. But I ask you this morning to be a real one. That is my encouragement for you this morning. With these thoughts, let's kneel together in prayer.